Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello. Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to an episode of the post-NXT Fightful show slash sour graps slash sweet graps that almost never happened. Sorry about the delay. I hate my laptop. I need to buy another one. But it's not important. My laptop sucks. But hey, here we are. Having a post show. Also, elsewhere in the world, a few miles in that direction, the Bucks are ripping my heart out. Because they scored 13 points in the second quarter, and I think I'm going to lose my mind. But let's not talk about that. Let's talk about NXT. Let's talk about NXT. NXT died last night. I don't know if everybody else was aware of this. NXT was doused in gasoline and lit on fire by Vince McMahon because he had the undefeated, unbeatable, monster champion Karrion Kross come out wearing the NXT championship strap and face Jeff Hardy and lose to him in, like, I don't know, a minute and a half. Remember, I said he was undefeated in NXT, and Vince had him come up, make his Raw debut, put him up against Jeff Hardy, who most recently has been, like, putting over dudes named Veer on Main Event. And he lost to that guy, not the old Jeff Hardy, this Jeff Hardy, which is, that's the death knell of NXT. That is Vince saying NXT doesn't matter, we don't care, and basically saying that whatever's going on in NXT has no bearing on what's going on in the main roster, and what we figured out tonight is vice versa. Because they didn't mention it. Now, this was not a taped episode. This was a live episode. They're taping the next two episodes tomorrow, I think. So the ones are going to be on Sci-Fi over the next two Tuesdays on Sci-Fi. Good luck finding that, because I have no idea if I even get that channel. I'll find it. This wasn't a taped episode. What happened last night, everybody knows happened. They didn't address it. They didn't mention it. Which seems like I see both sides. You know, like, I see both sides. Um, NXT can't address it because it was such a horrible thing that happened. Basically, they've Vince not only screwed over Cross, and by the way, like I don't care about Cross. Who cares about Cross? I care about the NXT title though, and I care about all the guys who faced him for it but couldn't beat him, and how it makes them look to have the dried out husk of Jeff Hardy pin the guy they couldn't touch in a minute and a half. It makes all of NXT look like a pile of turds. I don't care about it. Cross will be fine. Who cares? Like, this is why the thing that happened last week I was hoping for, that you start this whole Joe and Cross thing last week by somehow putting the title on Gargano. He'll lose it the next time he faces anybody of consequence. It doesn't matter who took the title off of Cross. But if you're going to do this to Karrion Kross on the main roster, you damn well can't do it while he's strapped up. But they did. They did. Send a super chat, everybody. And also drop a like. Subscribe. And I will talk about your super chats on the air. The Nerd Guru says, Alex, we are putting all our hopes in the Bucks winning. Thank you. As am I. Samoa Joe still rules. And shout out to the Sour Graps last night. Prolific. It was. There was a lot to discuss. And not just Cross, but we did discuss that. Justin Lopez says, God bless Joe for trying to make the fans forget about that debut. Imagine how fire that ending tonight would have been if not for that bull crap finish. Bullshit finish. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. The angle at the end of the show tonight, which we will discuss, is the best, most intimidating, most monstrous that Karrion Kross has ever been. And it's all for naught because of once Vince did him to him last night. New Punk Rants sends a super chat, says, as an AEW fan, I feel for NXT. I was a fan until TV. I just kind of saw the writing on the wall. They've had a bad run on TV and were being killed by WWE. Sad. Yeah. I mean, they've had their peaks and valleys. They had some good stuff that's happened on USA since they've been on there. But it doesn't even hope to match the stuff they were doing when they were on the network. It doesn't. Lopez says again, you know what else upset me about that finish? Jeff Hardy, a super babyface, had to cheat putting his feet on the ropes. It was so out of character. They were trying to protect him. Get it? Trying to protect old Cross by having Jeff Hardy have to cheat to win. Yeah, he's not cheating, though. He's just using the old noodle. That canny veteran Jeff Hardy, he's been around the block a time or two, I'll tell you what. So he knows what to do. Yeah. So that was last night. And we'll talk about how it kind of starts tonight. Tonight starts with Samoa Joe coming down to the ring, if I'm not mistaken. It's been a while since I thought of that. I've been kind of wrapped up in my brain about other things. So, yeah, no, Cross. Joe comes out. He's dressed to fight. He does a reference to the Peter Pan, to the Captain Hook croc, which I like. Tick tock, tick tock. Guess who's come to smash your clock? Joe, he was ready to murder Karrion Kross as well. He should, but Regal comes down and says, "Now, Joseph, Samoan Joseph, you know this is not what I wanted. When I brought you back, I had no plans, no inklings of any of this." That's a bad Regal, but my brain's stuck in 13 points in the second quarter. And Joe's like, no, this is fine. This is part of the agreement. The agreement was that you had to you gave me a leeway. You gave me leniency if I was provoked. And guess what? I was provoked. And Regal's like, well, you were in your capacity as a referee. He's like, the match was over. Like, that ain't it. And so, you know, Cross is out of control. He's been put down. Guess what, Joe? I think Vince is handling that quite well. Joe says, you've lost control of him, which is kind of why I'm here now. And then he says, I bet you didn't even know about his little field trip last week to Raw. So there's a, because he was backstage at Raw last week, you know, probably getting the old creative plans for his big old call up slash drag down to the main roster. But he wasn't on the show on Raw last week. So he says he was backstage last week. So Joe acknowledges in canon that Cross was backstage at Raw last week, but no mention of the debacle that took place last night. That's not a thing. We're not going to, nope. So they're just not going to address it. I mean, the thing is, I understand, like, how you can't. It's so debilitating to your entire brand. You can't acknowledge it. At the same time, you have to. Like, it's everybody who's watching NXT, like, almost all of, like, at least they're aware of what happened on Raw. They didn't watch it. Regal says Cross isn't here. He's on his way. When he gets here, all hell will not break loose. We will handle this peacefully. Do you understand? And fans are like, yeah, sure. Please don't do that, Joe. And Joe's like, yeah, well, I have the utmost respect for you. This will be the end of it. But I can't guarantee it's going to end peacefully. Someone's going to sleep tonight. By the way, Joe's got a great new shirt. It says night, night. I like that a lot. Xia Li does a promo video speaking in Chinese, Mandarin, Cantonese. I'm not really sure. Is it Mandarin? Probably Mandarin. It's a good bet it's Mandarin. Anyway, this is the most important moment of my career. I will leave a champion. I will be the first Chinese NXT Women's Champion. And that's going to be the main event, they say. Last week, there was the Bobby Fish versus Tyler Rust match that ended where there was a distraction. There's a super chat right here. Chris Verano, how are you doing this podcast right now? I wouldn't be able to focus at all. Guess what? I'm not able to focus at all, but I am going to do this podcast. Go Bucks. So Kushida rode to the rescue, and it looks like they were going to beat up Bobby Fish. So Bobby Fish and Kushida versus Tyler Rust and Roderick Strong is the tag team match that starts us off in the ring. Good match. Tyler Rust got to show a lot of good work. But apparently they need to protect Bobby Fish because Diamond Mind loses their first match as a tag team, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It's you ran those vignettes for what seemed like weeks and weeks and weeks, and then they debut and it seemed to be going well, and then you have Tyler Rust take the pinfall loss. I mean, him taking pinfall loss to Kushida, I don't mind, but Bobby Fish is right there. Like, he can easily get pinned as part of this, but I think they're not building Tyler Rust. He's there to take pinfalls. I do think he's got a very bright future. I understand, because of the way NXT is and WWE is, that guy could get released tomorrow. Maybe he doesn't feel like sacrificing his long flowing locks that he's spent years cultivating, but At the same time, he does look really out of place next to Roddy Strong with the buzz cut. I think Tyler Rust showing he's part of the Diamond Mine now and not a different guy, I think might be served by having a shorter haircut, like what they did to Otis on SmackDown. Or maybe it just, like, when he comes to the ring, come with the hair, like, drawn back very dramatically into a small ponytail or something. I don't know. It's he doesn't look like he's this part of the same group, but he's really good in the ring, and he's there to take pinfalls. And the story I think they're building to is Roderick Strong beating Kushida for the Cruiserweight Championship. So Kushida getting the pin on Roddy's boy kind of makes sense, but like Bobby Fish is right there. You know, you don't have to do that. New Punk Rants clarifies his earlier comparison between AEW and the new NXT. He says, what I mean is by that is instead of being used to potential, they were essentially used to attack another company. It just feels mishandled and empty. And there's the theory going around that because they were used to attack the other company and failed in that attack, the other company obviously won that war, that the soldiers who were unsuccessful are now being punished by the general in Vince McMahon. That's a theory. So, so that's what happened in that match. And they're Diamond Mine's going to be fine, I think. Million Dollar Champion LA Knight arrives with being driven by Cameron Grimes. They took them too long. Like, we would have been here 10 minutes ago if you listened to me and not followed the GPS. Cameron Grimes said, we would have been here even faster if I'd taken my Rolls Royce. how about get out of the car and get my bags? So comes around the back of the Corvette to get the bags, and Drake Maverick's like, well, allow me to help you. I'm a good, decent person, Drake Maverick. They released my tag team partner, Killian Dane, and I've got nothing to do. I'm very sad, says Drake Maverick. With his eyes. His eyes say, I'm very sad. Like, I built this really cool little tag team comedy duo between me and Killian Dane. We had this really fun music with a lot of whistling in it. It was a whole shtick. And then they just fired him. And then they made his wife the Raw Women's Champion. So, you know, who knows? Ups and downs. Anyway, Drake's like, let me help you with that, because I'm a decent human being and I want to get on TV. And Cameron Grimes is like, no, I got it. It's my job. I'm the butler. So he tries to pick them all up. And those suitcases, there are like 5 suitcases in the back of that Corvette, and not a one of them have anything in them. You can tell by the way he picks them up. They're all empty. And Knight's like, don't help him. He knows what it's his job. He's supposed to do it. You know what? How about this? How about you get in the ring with me? Yeah. And we're going to have a match later tonight. Yeah. Maverick says, sure. And Grimes tries to apologize. Like, I'm really sorry about him. Anyway. Takeover 36 is August 22nd. The day after SummerSlam. They haven't said where, but I'm assuming it's going to be at the CWC. Samoa Joe is pacing around like a maniac, ready to murder somebody. That somebody is Karrion Kross. So it hasn't happened yet, but just so you know, it's gonna. Frankie Monet. Remember how Frankie Monet like took ownership of the Robert Stone brand, like Aaliyah peaced out, I guess, to the main roster, we're assuming. And so it's just Jesse Kamea and Robert Stone. I don't even know what he's doing right now as a thing. Like, what is that? But Frankie's like, I'm in charge now. Jesse Kamea's like, yes, you are. And Robert Stone's like, okay. So Frankie Monet has a match against JC Jane, which is a fun name. And she does some good stuff too. She's got some good offense in there, but this is obviously a showcase for Frankie Monet, and she is showcasing herself not only to the NXT universe, but also to Mandy Rose, who appears, just saunters out and comes up behind the. This is such a main roster thing. Like I'm surprised they haven't done this with even Marie yet. She saunters up behind the commentator desk. And then very awkwardly gets up on top of it and sits there with her legs outstretched along it. So she has to like look this way. Like she's, her body is aligned in this direction. And so she has to look this way to watch the match, which is going to give me a crick in my neck. And I've been doing it for 4.5 seconds. It's a weird thing to do to your superstar. But hey, Mandy Rose is on NXT officially, just checking out Frankie Monet. And Frankie Monet wins. And but by that point, Mandy Rose is gone. So we're doing a slow build on this Mandy Rose and Frankie Monet story. I'm sure we'll get to the pinnacle, the crescendo of this build sometime around, I don't know, Labor Day. Yeah. So Johnny Gargano, this is the beginning of an actual storyline shift, which I honestly thought they executed perfectly. And I'm really sad that it had to happen. So here's the deal. They're interviewing Johnny Gargano about being beaten by Karrion Kross last week, not being able to get the job done against the guy who lost in 90 seconds to the waterlogged corpse of Jeff Hardy. And, you know, Gargano's taking the loss pretty rough. And Kyle O'Reilly comes up and, not you, Johnny. I don't care about you. But you, I heard you were talking some crap about me getting interviewed by Wade Barrett last week. How about let's have a match? And Theory's like, you challenging me? And O'Reilly's like, God, you're thick. Yes. Yes, that's what this is, the challenge. And you got it. Let's do it. And then Gargano's like, well, you got yourself into this. You got to get yourself out of it. You're on your own tonight, buddy. You want to be like Papa John? Papa John handles his business on his own. So you got to be like Papa John. You got to go out there by yourself. And Austin was like, yeah, no, I can do that. Okay, cool. Thanks, Dad. So yeah, we'll talk more about that as it goes on. Cause I did enjoy the actual full story. It's about to happen right now. Wade Barrett interviews Bronson Reed now. This has become a thing Wade Barrett does. He interviews people, baby faces who've taken a recent loss. It really hurt losing to Swerve Scott. My wife divorced me. I mean, she didn't. He doesn't say that. But with as often as he says, my wife was so proud of me for winning the NXT title. And then I lost. It kind of sounds like what he's saying is, I was doing great in my marriage, and then I lost my child title, and now I don't, I'm not doing great in my marriage. Yeah. But anyway, I'm gonna fight harder than ever now, and I'll be facing Adam Cole next week. I'm gonna fight the best. If I could beat the best, then that shows that I'm the best. You know, blah blah blah. So next week, Adam Cole versus Bronson Reed. It's a fairly stacked show next week. I'm excited for it. Even though it's taped, we'll see. Some of the best NXT shows were taped, ladies and germs. Back in the day, they used to like tape 7 weeks at a time on one. Like a couple of days back to back, and the spoilers would leak online, and we'd be like, holy crap, I can't wait to see that match. So who knows? So Kyle O'Reilly versus Austin Theory is a match. It's a good match. It's long, way longer than I thought it was going to be. Austin Theory acquitted himself very well, had a lot of really good stuff in it, and they told a really good story within the match that, like, Austin Theory got frustrated about not being able to put Kyle O'Reilly away, and he was going to take a serious shortcut. Just outside, picked up the steel steps, and was going to use them on O'Reilly, and O'Reilly avoided that and said, oh, you were going to try to seriously injure me. How about I try to seriously injure you? And that just unleashes a flurry of like kicks and crazy shit, knees to the chest and all this stuff. And I thought it was a really cool finishing sequence where, like, Austin Theory, like, held his own against Kyle O'Reilly, and then he pissed Kyle O'Reilly off, and Kyle O'Reilly said, "No more of this shit. Now I'm going to take you out." And he did. He did the jumping knee to the back of the leg, I guess, and then put the heel hook on him, and Austin had to tap out. But again, this took up a good chunk of the night. It was a decent match, and some of the best work I've seen Austin Theory do. So later in the night, and I'll talk about this now.
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, hold on. I want to make sure I'm doing this right here. I'm going to say da da da. Well, they do a thing backstage where it's the way. It's all four members. And he obviously Austin Theory is not taking it well, losing. But Gargano and Candice are kind of arguing about what their next steps are because nobody's got a title anymore. When Johnny Gargano fairly recently was North American champion, and LeRae and Indy were very recently women's tag champions, and now nobody's got a belt, and they're kind of getting into it about it. And Indy's like, "Stop yelling at Austin Theory. Listen, if he wants to kiss Dexter, let him kiss Dexter." Wait, that was for me. This is cute. But then Candace and Johnny start arguing about what they have to do to get Indy away from Dexter, while also how to get their championships back. And Austin Theory kind of dejectedly says, "Man, this family's falling apart. We can't keep doing this." And nobody listens to him. So he grabs his little vest that has the Way logo on it, and he's got it slung over his shoulder. He's got his suitcase, and he stands there kind of behind, but mostly off to the side of Johnny Gargano, and he holds up his hand to do the no-look high five. Now, he tried to do that at the beginning of his match with Kyle O'Reilly when he was doing his entrance, and Johnny wasn't there. And he kind of realized, well, Johnny's not here for me. And Johnny doesn't see him in the little backstage segment, and Candace and Indy and Johnny don't see him, and they leave. And he leaves. He just walks away. And I think that I think that that there's Austin Theory's the best role I think he's ever going to have in NXT, really. I mean, NXT certainly, but maybe in the main roster, is this dopey sidekick to Johnny Gargano. I thought he played it perfectly. Just perfectly. And now he's going to wind up on the main roster, I think, imminently. And he's just going to be another generic dude. He was a fall guy while he was there for Andrade. He was a fall guy for Seth Rollins. I feel like he's just going to wind up doing that or being part of a tag team. Like they re-signed Davey Boy Smith Jr. And maybe they'll put him with that guy and see what happens. And that's not as good as what this was. It's just not. He was doing such a great job at it. And I feel bad for the guy, even though, you know, I don't feel bad for the guy because, you know, of some stuff that came out about him a while ago. So, Mackenzie Mitchell is backstage with Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez asking about Xia Li. And I'm not sweating her. Like, I'm not afraid of her kicks. I'm not afraid of her bodyguard. I'm not afraid of her little friend in the chair, her 5,000-year-old great aunt. No. And Dakota Kai's like, how dare she? I beat Ember Moon and it was my time in the spotlight. And then Xia Li came in and stole it from me. So now Raquel's going to make her pay for it. And after I put down Xia Li, there's going to be nobody left. And Dakota Kai was like, well, not nobody. I mean, I'm left. That was her body language and her little facial expression. I mean, they're obviously going to do a Dakota Kai split from Raquel in a match. I don't know how they're going to work that alignment exactly, but yeah. Anyway, so there's... To respond to Hit Row's cipher, there was a Mariachi Madness musical that was scheduled for Legado del Fantasma. But then he sends the Mariachi band members out. It's like, I was going to give you a sample of my musical heritage, but now I will not. I'm not going to do the Hit Row thing. I'm going to take the North American title from Swerve. And then Hit Row comes out and they stand up on the top of the top of the ramp and they do a bunch of some rhyming promos, which I thought were fairly decent. At Legado de Fantasma, and one thing I like that Swerve brought up was like, it took both your punk ass boys over there to help you beat me for the Cruiserweight title last year. So I went and I got myself my own faction. So isn't this fun? They're going down. They very slowly walk down to the ring, stand there, get in slowly, stand there. And Escobar sends Wild and Mendoza to be sacrificial lambs to Top Dollar and Ashanti the Adonis so that he and Swerve can fight. And he clocks Swerve with a giant ring on his right hand. And then he's going to use a mariachi guitar on Swerve, but B-Fab takes it from him standing on the apron as he raises it over his head. And so Swerve gets it from B-Fab, but it's going to hit him with it. But instead, Joaquin Wild winds up being in there by himself because he was going to attack Swerve from behind when Escobar made his escape. And so he's in there by himself and he gets hit with the guitar. He gets, well, first of all, takes a super kick from Adonis. And then he gets hit with a guitar. Yeah. So Escobar's like, "Oh, how dare you hurt my henchmen?" This is a weird thing. I'm looking forward to this six-man tag. I'm looking forward to this North American title match. I think they'll be very good. Samoa Joe's still waiting for a Karrion Kross. William Regal comes up and says, like, "I need you to relax. Kross will be here." Like, the respect that I have for you, I'm going to be honest with you. You know I'm going to be the first person to see him when he gets here, right? It's like, just please keep it peaceful. Or he says, just please, Joseph, keep it peaceful. So now we get another breakout tournament first round match. We still have yet to see a bracket for this thing. Still have no idea who's facing who or what, which seems weird that you're actually having first round matches and we don't know how that shakes out in the second round. You should probably release that at some point, I would hope. But Odyssey Jones versus Andre Chase is not very competitive. Andre does a lot of stuff to Odyssey, and Odyssey's like, I mean, look at me. It's not, you're going to have to run me over with a truck. And Odyssey Jones, the former Harlem Bravado, that's Andre Chase. Odyssey Jones was Omari Palmer. He played in the NFL. But Odyssey Jones is obviously the guy people are rooting for. And he wins with this, I don't know, he's like, he turns it's like a half boss man slam, half one-armed rock bottom thing. It was pretty cool. Pretty damn cool. Man. I like Odyssey Jones. I love his name, but I also think he could have a bright future. I hope. I have not yet seen a bracket, JJ Lee. Stellar Justin Lopez. This dude impressed me. Don't know if I should be hyped after yesterday's debacle. Yeah, he's a more agile Mark Henry. I can see why he's doing dark matches. Yeah. He's a more agile Mark Henry or a slightly larger Keith Lee. So we'll see what Vince evidently eventually does with him. Yikes. Poor Keith Lee. Mackenzie's backstage with MSK, and she's asking him, "Hey, what's your plans now that you're the time?" "Well, we're going to face whoever we face." And so why, what's the name, the significance of the name MSK? What does it stand for? And they're about to reveal it when, you know, and it's like a, we interrupt this program, kind of a, we the hacker is back, and it's not Mustafa Ali, it's Marcel Bartel and Fabian Aichner. And they have a promo about how the tag division is full of a bunch of yahoos, these loser luchadors and rappers with their gang signs. And they conveniently leave out Grizzled Young Veterans and Tommaso Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher, who are not any of those things. But okay, to us the mat is sacred, and they're coming after MSK. All right. I think that match will be a lot of fun. Bartel versus Aichner versus MSK should be fun. Then they cut back to MSK and say, so that is what MSK stands for. So I think they're going to troll us with that for a while. But, you know, like they cut away just as he was about to say it and then back and then, yeah. So Pete Dunne, Oney Lorcan are backstage. and like we're the best. We're tough guys, and Tommy and Timmy think they're tough guys. So let's do it next week. Let's see how it goes. So I'm looking forward to that match, Tommy and Timmy versus Oney and Pete. I think could be really, really great. So LA Knight versus Drake Maverick is mostly shtick. Cameron Grimes walking down behind LA Knight, playing to the crowd, but LA Knight turns around like, and he's like, "Oh, I wasn't doing anything. It was fun." He's doing his to the moon thing. He tries to hold the middle and the bottom rope open for LA Knight to get through, and LA Knight's, "No, you hold the other ones open." And Grimes is like, "Oh, I'm sorry." This all works a lot better in watching it than it did that does me describing it. I think that Grimes is doing a really great job. The problem I have with this match, LA Knight wins. Drake Maverick wins. Because LA Knight says, "Here, hold the $1 million belt up high over your head, standing right outside the ring," and he stands through the thing to make sure it's the exact right height, which of course matches his own forehead. So when he's drop kicked in the butt by Drake Maverick, he bangs his head on the belt and then gets rolled up. 1, 2, 3, loses, and Drake Maverick and Cameron Grimes are like, "Hey, it was great." But Cameron Grimes says, you should probably leave. And he doesn't leave fast enough. LA Knight catches him with a big clothesline and then beats the hell out of him. And Grimes tries to stop him. And LA Knight says, No. This is going to continue. I'm going to keep beating him up. Actually, you know what? You're going to keep beating him up, my butler. You have to do whatever I say. So that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. And my question is this: what happens to Cameron Grimes if he doesn't beat up Drake Maverick? Because eventually he does. Eventually he punches Drake Maverick in the face, and he feels really bad about it. Like, was very conflicted about whether or not he should do it, and then he does it. And the LA Knight says, "You told me you're a man of your word. You have to do this." This does not fit. Under the auspices of butlering, when you butle, you don't have to punch dudes in the face. That's not something people do when they're butling. So if he just tells LA Knight to go screw, "I'm not punching that guy in the face," what happens? Does he get fired by LA Knight and then doesn't have to be LA Knight's butler anymore? What's the consequence? There needed to be a consequence. You, now that you lost the match and now that you're my butler, you have to be my butler for a certain amount of time and do whatever I say, or you're suspended without pay from NXT for 2 months, or you have to donate $1 million. To charity, or not charity, LA Knight wouldn't care. You have to give me $1 million or whatever. Or maybe if you do everything I say for a month, you get another shot at the $1 million championship. There's no consequences if he doesn't do whatever LA Knight says. There needs to be some, or I don't know why he's following the orders. That's all I'm saying. So a black car arrives in the back parking lot. Samoa Joe runs up, yanks the guy out. It's a bald guy, but not that bald guy. Where's Cross? It's like he's already out front. He paid me to drive him back out here. Joe storms off. Carmelo Hayes versus Josh Briggs is next week in the breakout tournament. Carmelo Hayes should win the whole thing, so I hope he wins that match. Xia Li versus Raquel Gonzalez is way more competitive than I thought it would be. Xia Li with a lot of good, leg kicks, hurting Raquel. Raquel's never really able to get any good footing because of all the good leg kicks. That's kicks to the leg, not kicks by the leg. All kicks are kicks by the leg. These are kicks to the leg, from one leg to another. And eventually, Raquel is able to gain control enough that she Lee has a spinning roundhouse kick while Gonzalez is down, and so that thing that I was talking about, I don't think she can kick that high. Well, she got Gonzalez to be closer to the mat, so it's easier to kick her in the face. Gonzalez powers up, knocks Xia Li down, and then does her big corkscrew Vader bomb senton thing. And Xia Li can't get up. And the ref's checking on her. Two medical staff are checking on her. And they show the replay. And Xia Li, homegirl's got a busted rib. Like the way that all of Raquel Gonzalez's weight came down right on Xia Li's right side. And she was on obvious pain. And they could have called the match, but they didn't. They had Xia Li stand up, and Raquel, who's been saying, "You wanted this, not me. You wanted this. Come on, get up," which is good. She's playing her role. But I don't think she was serious, because I don't think Raquel Gonzalez wanted to murder Xia Li via internal bleeding. But that's kind of what she had to do, because they said, "Xia Li, get up and take this finisher from Raquel Gonzalez." And as Dante V says, why did they let Xia take another bump after that injury? It's terrible. And I agree. Like, not only is it terrible, like it's a back bump, which can't feel good with a busted rib. Like, she took the Chingona bomb hard and got pinned. Like, she could think there were no other moves. There were nothing else to do. I don't know what the plan was for the rest of the match, but they could have just said, no, injury, she lost. She lost because she got hurt. She can't continue. That's a loss, and the champion retains. If the champion's going to retain anyway, why did you have the challenger be the injured challenger take a finisher? I don't think that makes a lot of sense. Anyway, now we get to the big spot at the end of the night. Here we go. Samoa Joe comes marching down the ramp. He calls out Karrion Kross. There's going to be a reckoning tonight. I'm going to stomp Kross all over the building. Kross appears on the big screen. Says, "This isn't the same place you walked away from. This is my place now. This is me." I am the new beginning. I am the way to the future. You're called up to Raw, senor. You're called up to Raw. You're Vince's problem now. All that remains is how they take that title off you. You're not the future of NXT. You're already past tense. Vince has got his claws in you. That's it. Like, we'll see what he does with you when you rebound from losing to what remains of Jeff Hardy. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But you're done in NXT. So calling yourself the future is weird. But anyway, he says, I can do whatever I want, and I can hurt whoever I want. For example, the camera pans down, and William Regal is laying there shuddering with a cut on his forehead. And then Kross drops the camera, walks out to his car, and drives off as Samoa Joe run waddles up the ramp. I shouldn't say that, but I'm also fat. Shouldn't run. And as he runs past the collapsed Regal, he goes, "Kross!" I love Samoa Joe yelling. What a moment that would have been to prime us further for this cross. I mean, it's honestly, Joe, nobody gave Regal a harder time than Joe did when Joe was in NXT the first time, but they have a begrudging respect. Like, Joe understands what Regal means to NXT, maybe more than anybody. So to have Cross attack him, it's a great way to piss off Joe. But then again, like, last night happened, so I don't know what you're going to do now about this. Owen has an idea. It should have been Jeff. Instead of Regal, it should have been Jeff. Thing is, Samoa Joe doesn't give a shit about Jeff Hardy. Like, one of his most famous promos about when he was on the main roster was where he, like, ethered everybody in the ring. And one of them was Jeff. And he was like, Jeff, why don't you pretend like you're at an AA meeting and shut your ass up while I'm sharing with the group? I remember that. I'll never forget that promo. He doesn't give a shit about Jeff Hardy. He doesn't care. But he cares about William Regal. And that was a really good use of that relationship to further this angle. Too bad that angle is dead in the water after Vince booked the undefeated NXT champion to get pinned by a guy who used to be Jeff Hardy. That was NXT. I have been Alex Pulowski. This has been Sour Grabs. I have to go watch the end of this Bucks game because I'm probably going to lose my mind. Thanks, everybody, for bearing with me. Please leave a like, subscribe. Thanks, everybody, for bearing with me with technical difficulties. I hope it never happens again. I got to get a new laptop. I never say this on this show. I always say it on the other shows, but with what Vince did to Karrion Kross, and by extension, with what Vince did to NXT, I gotta say it. Everything sucks.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.